Anything you've learned, please pass this call number and time on to others so they can, it's a way of getting them the information and they can better understand how this support group and support system works. I would like to thank you for allowing us to enter your home, your office, your car, or anywhere that you are at this particular time listening to this call. We've had a great week here, and we'll kind of summarize the week and to see kind of where we've been. But prior to summarizing the week, I'd like to talk to you just a little bit about the China study. And the China study basically was written by T. Colin Campbell. He's a PhD, and it represents a clear and concise message of hope. And I really want to stress that. The message of hope is that it dispels a multitude of health myths and misinformation. And if you want to be healthy, basically, you can pretty much do that by just changing your diet. The science is clear. The results are unmistakable. And changing your diet can dramatically reduce your risk of cancer, heart disease, diabetes, and obesity. And in this book, they have found out why we here in the American or Western diet have all the diseases that we do. And I strongly suggest that you read the book called The China Study, because it definitely opened up my eyes in regards to what is really going out there and why we have all the diseases and obesity that we have here in North America. Another real good important book that we feel is very important, it's called The Rave Diet and Lifestyle, and it's by a gentleman by the name of Mike Anderson. And in here the author kind of explains why Americans cannot lose weight. And it's why modern diets pretty much don't work. And it shows you how to reach your ideal weight by going back and get nothing more than the old-fashioned foods that we here in America used to eat before losing weight was a problem. And I know I can go back in my particular family and look at pictures of generations back, and I find lean people, I find trim people, I find people that look doggone good and healthy. One of the other books that we strongly recommend that you read is a book called The Perfect Health, The Natural Way, and it's by a lady by the name of Mary Ann Scherer, S-H-E-A-R-E-R. And this book pretty much explains just what you should eat and why, but it also offers valuable suggestions on how to integrate this new way of eating into our lifestyles. And in the back of it includes a section featuring delicious, easy-to-prepare, healthy recipes that will be pretty good to help us to begin our journey in this new way of eating. And also in the back of that book are some great charts that show the all the different nutrients that are involved in particular natural foods or plant-based foods. And that really kind of woke up my eyes up too in my mind, realizing that all the protein and calcium and magnesium and all the other vitamins and minerals that really are in our natural foods. And when you really stop and think about it, you know, where do our plant-based products get their nutrition? And of course, it's pretty much out of the ground. And even though we know that the ground is not as healthy nowadays as it used to be in the old days, but we can do that through forms of supplementation. Another real good book, like I said, is to help you get started. It's called The Student's Cookbook. And it's also available, and it has some great recipes for even some pros that have been eating this way for many, many years. But also it's pretty about the newcomer that is just getting started, and there's some real good variety and specialty and strategies basically to make tempting every meal for every day of the week. So those are kind of the books that we strongly suggest that you get to assist you in any particular way in learning more about this particular program. But over this last week, we have done some amazing discussions. We had the Dillmans with us basically on the 16th of July, and they were people that had been eating and have eaten this way for many years. They were introduced to, when they lived in Santa Rosa, to a Dr. McDougall, who definitely believes in a plant-based type of product, and Lynn Ron. Lynn was a teacher, and Ron is a dentist. And they had ate this way for about 3 years and then moved away from down in California back up to Northern California, I believe it is, and kind of got away from it, but because of the China study or whatever particular reason, they move back into this great way of plant-based eating and understanding that animal products and dairy products and cheeses and milk and things like that were not as beneficial for our body as we have come to believe in the society of today of advertising and marketing of particular products. And that was very interesting to hear Glenn and Ron and their story and their great suggestions on why this way of eating is real valuable to us and our bodies. And if you'd like to, and if you didn't have the opportunity to listen to that particular call, you can go to focusongrowth.com, and down in the lower left-hand corner it says Advanced Lifestyle Program. You can click on there, and then you can click on July the 16th, and you can hear Ron and Lynn Dillman free of charge, and that whole particular call that was conducted. And you can hear Ron and Lynn talk to you about why they feel that this is definitely for them and even for other people. Then we got to get this message out if we're really concerned about health. So it's just a way of kind of tweaking the way that we've normally eaten and made our diets better. And I'm really thankful for that particular Ron and Lynn and their information that they gave us on that particular call. Also, we talked during the week about some great breakfast ideas. And that's because of a new way of eating. People all came online and talked about different ways of eating and great suggestions they had. They even talked about soaking the vegetables in our wonderful Pai Mang water and why what the value of that was in regards to basically helping to clean fresh produce, and we all know that that's very important. But one of the other things that came out of the call that kind of tweaked my mind a little bit was how basically they're getting longer storage life of fresh produce that is kept in the refrigerator. And we all know that for those of us, sometimes that can go bad pretty fast in some cases, but washing it and with the Pai Mang water and letting it soak in that, we're getting some great results there. We pretty much talked about, we even discussed items as far as what's the difference between dairy and beef cattle. And that question came up, and some other questions came up that we're going to get involved with. So that's pretty much what's happened over the last week. We had some great people with some great results. They're feeling healthier, stronger, more energy. Some people, when they start the program, though, have understanding that the body, when you change diet and you go through maybe a little bit of detoxifying, that was kind of that you do possibly get some headaches, or some people have had some headaches and maybe some even had some little nauseated feelings. But that's okay, because that's the change in getting the I'll call it the junk out of the body, and that's what we all want to do so that our bodies can function properly the way that they need to function. So is there anybody on the call, and that's kind of my summarization for the last week, is there anybody on the call that maybe something tweaked their mind or their ideas about this new way of eating over the last week that you'd like to mention at this particular time? Feel free to speak up.
Monty, you'll love this. For those of us who don't like to take a long time to cook meals, I made rice last night, but before I was boiling the water, I cut some veggies into it instead of cooking them separately. And I did the same thing with pasta the other day. You know, it's all in one pot, and it all cooks at the same time. And when it's finished, and much quicker and easier than doing it separately and then combining them or anything. And then you don't have to use that oil.
Great idea. That's called conserving time and energy.
Got it.
I mean, when I say energy, I mean, you know, it's all done at one time, but better yet, not so much when you're cooked. You don't have to run two burners, as an example, to get your vegetables done or however you're doing. What vegetables, Nancy, did you put in there? Can you give us some kind of idea what they were that you kind of cut up and put in there?
Well, there's also just one pan to clean. that's a big question. I have absolutely garlic and onions. We had some zucchini, so I cut some of that. And let me think what else. Oh, pepper for color, both green and red. With the pasta, I think I put some broccoli in. Did not put cauliflower because the broccoli was taking too long, or carrots. But, you know, whatever you got, even in the pasta, I think I cut some cabbage. It was wonderful.
And everything came out right.
Yeah. Yeah, recipe, depending on what you're cooking and how long it's going to take and how firm your vegetables are, some vegetables do take longer to cook, so you might want to start them before you add the other stuff. But you don't want your rice to be mush or your pasta to be totally mush, so you might want to, like the garlic takes a long time because I just put it in whole.
Okay, and when you serve it to the family, did you serve it as a one dish type, or how did you serve it?
Just in a bowl. Whoever wanted it took some, and whoever didn't, oh well.
Did you get any comments from the family?
My husband liked the rice last night.
Great. So, I would imagine it possibly even gives the dish, because you're getting all the different flavors of each particular vegetable, that it might have the rice might even have a total different flavor.
Right, and I'm using just water, so I'm using Thai water, you don't have to use vegetable broth or anything else.
Uh-huh.
I've never even bought vegetable broth, so I don't know what that's all about, but just water.
That's great.
With the rice, I did have to, I don't know if I had to, but when it started boiling and I threw all the veggies in, it looked like there wasn't going to be enough water for the rice that I had done the rice 2-to-1, but it looked like there might not be enough, so I added a little more water to it.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, thank you for that idea. I'm sure that's kind of interesting probably to a lot of people out there that are on this particular call, and that's exciting. Now, if there's any new people out there on the call and you haven't been on the call before, like I said earlier, we'd like to welcome you to the call. Please feel free to speak up if you have any particular questions that you feel that you'd like to get answered, and we'll certainly try to do that. Is there anybody else out there that had something you'd like to talk about that happened over the last week? Okay, I'm not going to wait too long. I know some of you are out there on mute and whatever. Mary Lou, are you with us this morning?
Yes, Monty, I'm here.
Is there anything that you felt over the last week that was pretty important that maybe you'd like to mention again on this call?
Monty, I'm going to have to make a confession. I traveled all week and never made it to one call. So, thank you for the recap.
Well, it was quite a quick and short and whatever. How'd you do traveling in regards to this new way of eating? Did you have any tips or any suggestions that you might help us out with?
I didn't have any trouble at all. The first part of the week we were with staying with some of our distributors, mm-hmm. and they were awesome. We educated them. They thought it was going to be real hard. They kept saying, "Now, what do you eat on this? What do you eat on this?" I said, "Well, what are you going to eat? We'll just eat what you're going to eat. Don't worry about it." And we just eliminated the meat part. Mm-hmm. And you can find wonderful, wonderful salads anywhere. You know, we still have our perfect start in the morning and our piece of toast. I mean, the same as we always have, except that we have cut back to one scoop of the perfect start. And so our breakfasts are pretty basic, and then we're having our lunches and stuff. And then I'll tell you, the last, 4 or 5 days, we've been over at Dennis and Ruth Williams' house, and they prepared food for everybody that was at the Diamond Summit, and then some of them that lingered on and went on to the cruise. And we ate so healthy there, you know, lots of fresh fruits, vegetables. Did some wonderful rice dishes, a lot of vegetables that were, you know, steamed or cooked in our Kensin cookware. People were commenting on how wonderful it was. Now, John does the cooking over there for them, and there were a lot of people that hadn't even heard of this, had heard of the China study, or hadn't even gotten on a call yet or anything, and so John did fix some, he had some meat off to the side for the people that wanted meat, and it was, I'd say, way overcooked meat, because there were a lot of people there that were not eating it, so it was... It was really fun. So
yeah, well, you know,
I don't have anything else that I can tell you. We did eat out one night in a new family restaurant that when we went in, it's a new Mexican restaurant, and they have a vegetarian burrito, and you can request brown rice actually, which they cook in vegetable broth, and they will put the rice in with the beans in the burrito. And you can ask them to eliminate the cheese. They had some chopped peppers in it. It was absolutely delicious, and Larry and I shared one. I mean, we can't eat a whole one anymore. And so it's actually pretty easy once you've got your mind wrapped around this, so.
Yeah, no, I love meatloaf. You know, I always have loved meatloaf. I mean, you know, I could probably eat meatloaf 7 days a week in my old diet, you know, whatever. But I, you know, this new way of eating, you know, you kind of change things around. So I found a recipe. It's called millet loaf. And the whole idea of it is kind of when you cook it up and everything else, it has the texture. It even kind of looks like a meatloaf in a casserole dish and whatever. But, you know, I don't like to cook and get involved in recipes in the way that a lot of people do. But this recipe was pretty easy for me. I took 1 1/4 cups of millet, and that's a grain, okay? And I thought, when I'm making this thing, I'm going, oh, sure. I mean, you stop and think, listen to this. It says 1 1/4 cups of millet, 4 cups of tomato juice, 1 medium onion chop, 1 to 2 cloves of garlic. Now, I didn't have any garlic on hand. I'd ran out, so I ended up using 2 tablespoons of minced garlic, 1/2 teaspoon of dry sage, 1/2 teaspoon of dried basil, and 1/2 teaspoon of poultry seasoning. Now, one thing I did learn when I started to eat this way, that I knew that spices were very, very important, so I, of course, went out and took that expense of buying those spices or whatever, but then I just preheated the oven to 350 degrees. Now, listen to how you make this. This is amazing. Place the millet in a large bowl. Place the remaining ingredients in a blender and process until smooth. That's the tomato juice, the garlic, and the spices, whatever, and you mix that all up. And then you add them, and then you pour the millet, pour this liquid that comes out of this blender into this grain. This millet is real small. It's kind of like small BBs. And you pour it in there, and I thought, and then you kind of stir it up, mix it up, then you pour it in a shallow casserole dish. And I thought, now this, how is this going to end up looking and setting up and doing everything like a meatloaf would set up, you know, when you got done cooking it? So you just poured it in there, covered up the dish. And I baked it for 1 1/4 hours, or until set, the recipe calls for. And I couldn't believe it. When I opened that oven and pulled that out, that had the kind of the red texture of a meatloaf. It had set up. It was set up. It wasn't liquid anymore. And this is amazing. I actually, when I ate the first piece, it actually tasted like meatloaf. Some people might think that was all in my head or whatever, but I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed that because I just, like I said, I love meatloaf. That was absolutely delicious. So.
Well, Larry loves meatloaf. So thank you. Somebody's getting a blender.
Good morning, Wade.
Yeah, good morning, Wade. We're having a... By the way, for anybody out there that is not going to speak up, if you could star 6... Yeah, *6, Matt should mute any noise that we're possibly, feedback that we're possibly getting.
Go ahead, Ray.
Okay, I discovered something pretty important along what we're doing, and I pretty much spent a full 2-day comprehensive, this lecture on nutrition was over several months. That was MP3 for probably 10 hours total, but I will summarize what the finding was, and this was taken back about 7,000 years ago to the text that where they used to cook for the kings and queens, and so it's very for the royals, how to prevent disease and everything, and I will highlight a couple of key things, and it's got to do with the Asian, we tend to do with the yin yang, everything is a balance of and conversion with that yin yang food is like acid versus alkaline food.
Mm-hmm.
So if you stick with the 80% alkaline food versus the 20% acidic food, obviously that was all in the meat and everything else was acidic. And then when you do eat, I mean, I summarized like 10 lecture here, but when you do eat, be very mindful, but to eat, you chew very slowly and really you spend longer eating small amount where you get higher nutritionals than eat big amount and gulp it all down because your digestive system was everything out. So So by spending a lot of time in your mouth where the saliva will digest a lot of your food and actually added extra different enzyme in there, so that's what gets you most nutritional. So it's not eat so much, but little you eat, but you spend more time chewing it. That was very important. And another key thing is the way, very interesting, you look at your output or your poop or your stool the day after, the pictures tell you a lot of what previously day you've done that you can adjust for the next day of how you feel. Pretty much, with 120 days, by doing actually what we're doing, your blood work will change completely. 120 days, that's the actual cleaning cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So when your body is so clean, he was giving an example like, you know, when you take muddy water when someone's so dirty, so even a little, you know, excessive thing you don't notice, but when our body is so pure and clean by eating the way that we're eating, even the slightest, like sugar or milk or anything that is invasive to our body, you will notice immediately, just like, he gave an example, it's like, you know, clear water and you drop a little a million that you will see, but then if you have cloudy water where it has a dirty body, the million that you would notice. So it's very crucial that you could go over, you know, when you have a headache or you have certain things, it's, you know, your body will tell you things. And then he did go over by, once you clean our body, the process, like all the things that we're experiencing, you were saying the headache, this and that, it's all positive experiences because the body is releasing toxins.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, of course, he went into the cooking. This is geared towards a lot of Asian. He showed how to cook a certain way of cooking brown rice to preserve the highest nutritional, and the way he roast the sesame seed to preserve the highest nutritional, and just having the brown rice and the sesame seed with salt, that long have all the nutrients your body ever needs. If someone, someone who have cancer or severe, there's certain stages of this process that you can do that he went through that very thoroughly. And of course, once you attain that your level, really it affects your whole spiritual being, really, because when you don't have good food, like meat, that kind of, the person tends to become more, less angry, more kinder, and, you know, it's very, it's so toned down to be very spiritual without bringing God or Buddha or anything in it. And the way when you prepare the food is very important as well, how much energy you put in there and all the negatives that should be out, because it actually affects the food. And if you're angry or not happy, don't eat, because you actually put all that energy in the food and you're actually boiling down poison. So I thought that was pretty crucial too. So
thank you.
So, yeah, that's in our summary, but there's more, but I thought that was a very good point, too, that he raises.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's so important, and food is very important to us. Our attitude, you know, whether we're cooking food or just life itself is very, very important, and we all know the more negative we are about something, you know, it definitely affects the body, and so the positiveness that's in there. And the other thing, too, is that, you know, with our cookware being the cookware, and we're talking about cooking food, and that's how the cookware is, can give us so about 60-some more, about 62-60% more of the nutrition actually stays in our products. Of course, now that we're eating more of this natural-based, natural products, that again just makes sure that we're getting the good bang for the buck when we do buy the good produce, that the nutritional value, of course, cooking it in our cookware, the way that it works, that we're allowed to keep all that nutrition. Thank you, Wei, for those comments. They're very, very important. I'd like to talk here real quick about kind of some essential tips for maybe new people that are first on the call or want to better understand this program. And I'm going to take this off of page 51 in the book The Rave Diet that I talked about earlier, and Lifestyle. Also in The Rave Diet, the book The Rave Diet, there's a nice DVD at the back of the book that talks about eating, and it's a very interesting DVD to watch. There is a section in the middle, and it will warn you prior to the section, but it kind of talks about the way that the animals are treated and so forth, and you can look at that or skip through it or do whatever. But these are basically essential tips and tricks involved in the rave. And it says the number one golden rule is always eat foods as close to their natural state as possible. And, of course, we know that's true because our natural products have the good nutrition and they don't have a lot of the bad stuff that's put in there particularly. And then you can, of course, the next best thing if you can't eat natural, fresh, and that is the one items that have been quickly and fresh frozen. And always eat whole foods and packaged foods. If you eat packaged foods, you got to remember that there's a lot of things that are put in foods nowadays that we want to be real wary of. And another good thing is eat a wide variety of colorful foods. You know, Nancy talked about it when she was talking about putting the red peppers and colorful items in there. That's good for the eyesight. It's good and appealing for us when we look at it. But those particular colorful foods are loaded with all kinds of antioxidants and vitamins and minerals. Also, eat as much uncooked food as you can. You know that when we cook food, that we start to lose nutritional value within our foods. That's why so much uncooked foods, raw foods, vegetables, fruits, that kind of stuff is more beneficial to our health. We know that salads is an ideal meal because you can put all kinds of things in a salad as far as vegetables or even get even mixed vegetables and fruits, you know, cut up apples and things like that. One of the other things he says is never cook with salt because that natural plant foods contain all the salt you'll ever need. And those are things that I think is another way in our American diet. We just always want to reach for the salt shaker and the pepper shaker, whether we're cooking food or whether we're eating it afterwards. And if Dr. McDougall says if you need to add any salt, the best time to add it, and I don't know, can't tell you right now exactly why, but that's after you've cooked your food and put it on it. They talk about taking a multivitamin, and it's good to know, again, we talked about that earlier, that good vitamin and mineral contents in our body, and our body needs these different kind of vitamins and minerals, and of course our Kens and men and women is a whole food item. It's not a fractured vitamin and mineral whatsoever, so we're getting some more whole foods there when we take our daily vitamins. It also talks about snacking. Don't ever go hungry. And that's one of the biggest mistakes that a lot of people make is they don't eat enough at a meal to feel full. And the one thing about this new way of eating, we don't do portion size or we don't count calories or whatever. We just kind of eat till we're full and then kind of step away at that particular point. Because if you don't eat until you're full, you know you're going to go back to grab at a snack. And unfortunately, those snacks are very important as what are we grabbing for snacks. We talked about that last week and how fruits and veggies and things like that are important, but not too much fruits because of the fructose and everything. So snacking in between meals is very important. But don't reach for those ones that are packaged that you get out of the grocery store. Beverages. Beverages are very important. It says here, it says pure water should always be your beverage of choice. And I like that idea about pure water because we have our Nikan Primag water system. It isn't a filter. It's basically a water treatment system that takes stuff out but adds calcium and magnesium and good minerals back into it. And that's why drinking lots of water. Eating out. And Mary Lou kind of mentioned that this morning about how they go to a Mexican restaurant. And there are ethnic restaurants out there that do cook foods basically different than the American Western diet does so that you can eat ethnically. So if you're going out to eat, maybe think a bit about eating in an ethnic restaurant and taking some good choices of foods that are made in those particular things. And eating that particular way just basically, it also accelerates weight loss. A lot of good things happen. It's better for our health. We know in listening to the China study that those diseases that unfortunately that we always want to keep out of our bodies, the cancers and the chronic diseases and diabetes, and I'll call it a disease also, and that's obesity, because where America is headed with their diets, and particularly our children, we are just raising a generation of obese people. And we all know that, I know when I weighed the weight that I did before I began the lifestyle program, and a lot of you that have lost weight, it's very important. It's just like my son who was with us yesterday, and he's lost quite a bit of pounds. He's down to 185 pounds from about 220. And he says, Dad, he said, I can't believe my posture. He says, I feel taller. And I said, well, son, when you pack around all that extra weight on your body, in regards to the gut section, as most men are, we put on our weight a lot if it's in our guts and whatever. But when you're carrying that extra weight around in our bodies, it's amazing how it really does affect our posture, and he realized that he was becoming a little bit slumped shoulder, and his head was kind of bending forward a little bit. And, you know, and if you don't think that's so true, just grab a 5 pound of sugar or a couple of 5 pounds of sugar and just try to pick it up, and you'll realize the extra weight that particularly those of us that were obese, and I, you know, still got a lot more weight to lose, but all that extra stress and strain that we're just putting on our body, forget the diseases, but just the stress and strain that we're putting on our skeletal structures, and then we wonder why our knees and our hips and we get arthritis in our back, and we, you know, it's just not normal positionings that what we need to be. So really strongly suggest that if you don't have the books, that you do get the books, and those are available from Focus on Growth. You can go there and order them up, and they have put a great package together for those of us that are in the Advanced Lifestyle Program, and you can order a package and get it at 15% cheaper if you get all 4 books at one time. So that's a tremendous savings there. We'd like to thank Focus on Growth for that. But other than that, we're going to kind of wrap this particular program up for Monday. Let you know that the call is available here again Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Is there any new folks on the call, though, before I close out that have any question? Because this call is for you to assist you in any way to learn more about this program or this new way of eating. Is there any new people on the call at this time that would like to speak up, that have a question that you'd like to have answered?
I'm James in Tucson.
Yes, John.
This James.
James, go ahead.
I called about 6 months, a year ago, and I'm going to start calling again today. So what about the Week in the Zone? Are we using that at all?
A Week in the Zone is still a valuable book because it kind of explains it, but we're moving away from that particular book in regards to the transeducation that we've done to ourselves here, because that is involved a little bit more so in animal protein and dairy particular products. And we know that when a lot of people start to change their diet, that it's hard for a lot of people to just go cold turkey or whatever. So what we're strongly suggesting in this particular program, that as you move away from the animal products and the dairy products and that sort of stuff, that if you want to do it slowly, that's okay. If you want to do it moderately, that's fine. But it's just another different way of doing it, okay? But at this particular time, we're not teaching the program involved utilizing the zone. We're utilizing the RAVE diet and the China study, those two books at this particular time. And also the book called The Perfect Health. Okay?
Okay, thanks.
Glad to have you back with us, James. And if you'd like to say, anytime you have a question in the future, you feel free to speak up. Anybody else have a question?
Monty, could you send me that millet loaf recipe, please?
Sure, I'll fire it off to you.
Thanks.
Okay. I heard somebody else.
Monty, I have a question about the potato juice. Monty,
yes.
Also, the new person needs to know that he can get the materials from Focus on Growth if he wants to get the whole packet.
Sure. Thank you, Mary Jane. There was another question there about the tomato juice.
Yeah, was it juice or was it tomatoes?
Tomato juice.
All right,
and that literally blew my mind when I mixed all that stuff in the blender, and I thought to myself, this is going to turn into look like meatloaf. I just literally blew my mother even enjoyed it. She said, well, it's really not kind of like the meatloaf, but, you know, she said it really has the texture and the taste, and that comes, of course, from the sage and the spices that you mix in there with it. Okay?
Monty, would you send that to me as well? This is my son loves meatloaf.
Well,
I just want to suggest my meatloaf, I put whole mushrooms and whole cloves of garlic that adds in it, so you might want to add that to it too.
And that's the nice thing about our recipes, is that we can take a recipe that's there in front of us, and if we want to, we can play with it if we make it, and let's just say that, well, it isn't exactly the way we thought it should be or whatever, that we can play with those recipes, particularly in regards to spices, or like Nancy just said, with mushrooms, extra mushrooms. I didn't think about that. Matter of fact, that's what I'm going to do next time. I'm going to chop up some mushrooms or put the whole sliced mushrooms in there. We'll just kind of play with this thing and see what, but I really enjoyed it, and now you need to know that I'm kind of a weird duck. and when And when I believe in the power of the mind. If you think it's steak, it'll be steak. If you think it's cruddy, it'll be cruddy.
I've never used sage. What does it taste like?
Pardon?
What does sage taste like?
Oh, don't ask me. I'm not a spice. I couldn't tell you no more. All I know is it says a half a quarter of a teaspoon of this. I get it and put it in there.
Okay.
Well, thanks. We appreciate we're getting near late. I'm sorry. We try to hold this call as close to a half hour as we possibly can, and we're quite a bit over this morning. I would like to thank each and every one of you, particularly those of you that spoke up on the call. But first of all, let me thank the Active Study Pilot Group and the people that spoke up for their time and commitment to this program. And for you new folks out there like James and other of you that I know are on the call for possibly for the first time, we really appreciate you speaking up and asking questions. And if you have any questions or comments, and you might, I'm going to direct you to the person that invited you to this call and this new way of thinking and about eating, and ask them any particular questions. If they can't answer them, we're here to help you and assist you in any particular way that we can. Just have a wonderful day. I know this is new to a lot of you, James. I know this we're kind of tweaking the original lifestyle program, and that's why we call it the Advanced Lifestyle Call, because in the book, The China Study, we're finding out that because of research, technology, development, and good thinking. But this thinking has been around for generations, and like Wei had mentioned earlier in her conversation, that how in the past, thousands of years ago, people used to eat this particular way, and so we're just enjoying it. We're going to tweak the particular lifestyle program because we're all striving for the best health that we can possibly have. And I know that every one of you out there are doing that for yourselves, but more so yourselves than your wonderful children or grandchildren or future generations to come. And the American diet is really got to be much more marketing, and there are some of the things we hear on TV or whatever is good for us, and we're becoming more aware of that. And the China Study, thanks to T. Cohen Campbell, the author of this particular book, and the survey that was done in China, is really opening the eyes to a whole lot of people across America, just not people on this call. But this particular book, and I know the idea of eating is catching on, and it used to have some of the bad things and names attached to it, but tell you folks, when you can eat natural and you can eat in a plant-based way, it just will be more beneficial to you for as long as we can. But we, at the end of life, we'd like to feel like we're real young, and we can do that by getting proper food and nutrition that it needs. Thank each and every one of you for all. Appreciate you. Be here tomorrow. Somebody else will be hosting the call tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Have a great day. Use your imagination, get the book, get the information, read what you can, and just put it to choose your path that you want to go down and how you want to start eating this new way. But the idea is every step you take forward is one step towards a new life. Have a great day. We'll talk to you all tomorrow. Yes. Yes.
You give the recipe again. I think you'll eliminate a lot of emails and phone calls if we can have the recipe one more time.
Yeah, good. I'll do that. Let me see. I got to grab what I need here. There it is. Okay, I try to keep as much stuff in front of me that I possibly can.
As a matter of fact,
I'll tell you where I got this recipe if you want to know about it. It's called the New McDougall Cookbook. Written by John McDougall and Mary McDougall, and that's the people that the Dillmans talked about when on her call, where they heard about this particular program, and it's on page 263, and here it is. It's millet loaf, it's called, and it's 1 1/4 cups of millet, and I got that from my local co-op, organic millet. Of course, you can buy it anywhere you want to buy it, but I get my stuff as much organic products that I can put in there. Then it's 4 cups of tomato juice. That's 4 cups of tomato juice. 1 medium onion chopped. And I chopped it up, not real small, but, just chopped. 1 to 2 cloves of garlic. Now, if you don't have garlic, which I didn't have at that time, I buy minced organic garlic that's already minced up. And I use 2 tablespoons, and I like garlic, so I don't know if that was the exact amount that I should have used on the mince, but it's 1 to 2 cloves of garlic, 1/2 teaspoon, and these are all 1/2 teaspoons, of dried sage, dried basil, and 1/2 teaspoon of poultry season. Now, poultry season can be, sage and poultry season can be pretty strong So I followed the recipe. I certainly enjoyed it. It was good for me, but, you know, we each have different tastes. So I think in the spices, anytime we do a recipe, I think we can, you can moderate it after you've cooked it the original way. You might think, well, I might need a little bit more of that or whatever. So, and that's it. And then you cook it at 350 degrees in a shallow casserole dish. You cover and bake it for 1 1/4 hours, 1 hour and 15 minutes, or until set. Now, because of different altitudes, different types of ranges, that can pretty well much, so basically you can just take the, if it's a glass cover on it, you can kind of look at it and see when it's set up the way that you would think that a meatloaf would normally set up. Any questions about the recipe? Okie doke, that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
I found this book in a secondhand bookstore, by the way.
Great.
Yeah.